Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Nikki Myberg, the physician's wife, very kindly agreed to chat to us and give us her perspective of what it is like to live with somebody who is fighting COVID for all of us every single day. Nikki Myberg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks. How are you? I don't know if I kindly agreed or it kind of was impressed upon me, but the truth is I'm here. So,
oh, that's semantics. Let's not worry about that, coerced or not coerced. You're still here, and of course that's what counts to our listeners. So Nikki, I happen to know what goes on in your family, and but many people don't. And I think it would be interesting and important for people to hear from you how your last year has been and where it is now. Because nobody was born a COVID expert. You had a husband who was always on the front lines of all sorts of medical things, being a pulmonologist physician. But at the beginning of 2020, your world changed. Take us through that.
So basically, I think that medicine is a calling. I don't think that it's something that you choose. I think it's something that chooses you. And Anton and I have always had this discussion. But I don't think that he or I, when we got married, ever thought that we would find ourselves in a pandemic, in a lung pandemic at that, in a community that finds itself always there for each other. So he's always been around for everybody, and he's always being people's confident and people's go-to for whatever, because he does have the resources to help. But I think that when 2020 started, I don't think that we knew what we were in for. It started for everybody, and it got very difficult for everyone. But the middle of the year, when this pandemic hit us in Johannesburg hard, kind of became this thing where we didn't see him, and the kids were wondering where he was, and they were concerned about him and worried for his well-being, because he was literally on the front lines. And then everybody went through the year as we all did, and we all held on to our December holidays, and we were expecting to come back to 2021 with, you know, a bit more positivity. And let's just say we got back from holiday last Sunday night, and on Monday, he basically disappeared. I don't know what went wrong with our community or with our country as a whole, but he literally has possibly been home a combined amount of about 5 hours since last Monday. Mm, he's in and out all night, and I'm just a bit worried about the burnout factor.
Well, I think there are many aspects, and as you say, not only the burnout factor, but the fact that he's exposed to this. Now, he is obviously very careful, but unfortunately, not sleeping and working the hours that you do does reduce your immunity as well. So it's a constant worry for you and for the kids, I'm sure.
And for the kids, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm known for major anxiety, and thank God so far have not passed it on to my children. But then COVID went and happened, and now I've got a bunch of very worried children who are more concerned about their abba and about him passing it on to them and them passing it on to other people, because they know that he's physically dealing with it on a daily basis. That said, he is meticulous, and anybody who knows him, and I think since his podcast, majority of people have got a bit of insight into the person he is. He's a funny guy, and he's very out there. But that said, if he's doing something, he's doing it properly. So in terms of PPE and things like that, he's meticulous. So even though there is that concern, we know he's doing the best he can to keep himself, his patients, and his family safe. But there is that chance for everybody, more so for him, who's literally in the firing line of the actual virus, that he could get it, and he could, you know, we don't know how he'd manage it, because the truth is, like you say, last night he was home at about 9, left at 10, got home at 11, left at 1:30, got home at 2:30, and then left again for the day at 5. So it's really a big deal to be in that space. And it's not only the doctors. I mean, if you think about the Hatsola paramedics and their wives and their families, we're all in the same boat, and we're all taking strain. But that said, I know that he's doing an amazing thing in holding our whole community together, because he's out there and he's trying to just keep us safe. So there's got to be there's got to be a confidence in that, you know.
It's interesting that you refer to it quite a lot as we, which I thought, which is, I guess, the way to get through it. Because if you didn't see it as a we thing, that you're a partner in this fight against COVID, it would be very, very different, and you'd perhaps be a lot more resentful.
So there's a lot of resentment. Sorry. I think the we turnaround came in the middle of the year when people started noticing what I was doing and what my kids were doing and what the Marburg family was doing with regards to Corona. I feel like I almost have an invisible sash that says Miss Corona 2020, do what she's doing. And I get it. I get it because he's everybody's safe space, and these doctors who are on the front lines are doing the whatever can be the correct thing if we, you know, as much as we know what the correct thing is. So once I realized that I had the capacity or the you know, position to try kind of help him keep people safe, not on a high horse for any reason. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, as in a partner, to be able to manage the situation, at least within our family and at least within our, you know, immediate circle, I kind of, I think, added that me onto him, and we became a we. I mean, we've always been a we, but I think more so in that, you know, if I'm doing the correct thing in what he's saying out there to everyone else, then at least I know I'm doing my part to help him, you know, keep the situation at bay.
And it makes it easier for him that in that whilst he's at work, if you're a team, then it's very different knowing that his wife and family at home are part of the team versus resenting the fact that he's never home and that he is.
And listen, there's no choice. There's no real choice. The truth is that he is, we joke about it, but it really is something that I believe in. And it's not to pat him on the back, like I say, but he's one of Hashem's messengers. So are all our Hatzolah guys, all the people on the front lines. They're doing God's work, because the truth is that without them, we would be in a far more horrific situation.
It's hard to imagine. Absolutely.
You know, we wouldn't be able to manage. And you know, the people who messaged me when we got back from holiday last week to say, oh, thank God, we feel safer that the Marburgs are back in town. Listen, that's a lot of a load to carry.
Yeah.
That said, he takes it very seriously, and he loves what he does. Well, he loved what he did until Corona. I mean, we are in a bit of a debate at present.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, he's good at what he does, and he wants to keep us safe, and he's doing it with God and with Hatzolah and with all those other amazing community members and doctors who are trying to keep us safe. And I'm just trying to, you know, make that a little easier for him, you know, if I can.
Right. What's interesting to me as well is how you deal with poor behavior from the community, from South Africans, when you see it. Because when you view that and you know what this behavior is going to lead to, and the fact that here is going to be another series of cases that your husband is going to put himself in danger for, how do you deal with that without becoming bitter and angry? Do you manage to do that without becoming bitter and angry?
So I was never big on swearing before, but I've kind of added a few choice words to my vocabulary, not that it helps. I find it quite hard. I must be honest. Like, I am very judgy, because I know that your stupid behavior and your not listening to the president and people in charge and, you know, the rabbis and anybody who's trying to keep us safe just means another night where my children are sitting at the kitchen table literally waiting to have supper with their father and eventually eating because he's not home. So I'm trying very hard not to be judgy and to get offended and upset. But the bottom line is, it does have a direct result to how things are in my household. You know, will he come home? You know, at the end of the day, is he sitting with somebody basically almost holding their hand while they are taking their last breaths because their family can't be with them? You know, like, it really is that dire and that devastating. And it makes me cross. But the truth is I've never been big on tattletaling, although I'd like to you know, pass on a few messages to, you know, teachers and principals about those people that aren't really behaving. Mm. But I just wish that we'd work more together, because we all want our kids at school and we all want this to end. We want to be able to host simchas and be able to see our grandparents, you know. It makes me angry, but I have to channel it, because it's not only about me. There's many people whose spouses and siblings, etc., are not home. You know, it's not just me.
How do you deal with, unfortunately, the reality of being a physician and a pulmonologist is that death is part of your life, and certainly part of Anton's life. But at the moment, the number of cases that are resulting in death that he's dealing with is significant. He's really leaving. Every time he comes home, he's left a place of people that are suffering, that are desperately ill, and many families who have lost loved ones. How does he separate that? And is it possible to step into your home where you've got young children and you want it to be a place of life and fun and living, during a time like this?
So he's always been unbelievable at separating the two. You know, unfortunately he does come across it often, specific times of year before Corona, like pneumonia season and the 9 days and all those things that people think are a joke, which really aren't, you know, times of the year where it is exacerbated. But I just think he's got this unbelievable ability to be able to be a doctor and then to be an abba and a husband, etc. You know, like my sister once had a terrible accident and he was on the scene and he ran back to his car and put his stethoscope around his neck and said, okay, I went from being brother to doctor. So he does have this amazing ability. That said, since Corona, you know, he's a little bit more subdued and a lot less humorous and a lot less loud. I think also it's taken its toll on him. And we joke, and he comes home and he breaks down the day where he watches TV or he plays on his phone. I mean, even if he's home at 2:30, 3 in the morning, he still doesn't go straight to sleep because he's wired. But that said, like, he's always had this ability to leave it at the door, which is an amazing thing. And I'm very grateful for, because I just don't think any household could manage that amount of death and sadness if he brought it home every day.
Right, right. Do you have a message for people listening?
Yes, I do. Without being judgy and harsh and horrible.
You can be judgy and harsh and horrible. I don't mind.
I cannot homeschool my children again. I cannot do Zoom school. I don't have the capacity. And without putting a guilt trip on everybody, your husbands are more than likely not in the office and they're sitting at the computer next to you and they're helping you log your one kid onto Zoom while you're logging your other kid onto Zoom. And I don't have that. And I don't need sympathy, and I don't need people feeling sorry for me. I just need you to behave so that my husband can be home from work and not burnt out at the age of 43, and not hate what he's doing. Because like I say, it's a chosen profession. It's something that chose him, and I don't want him to hate it. And I just want everybody to be healthy and safe and be able to celebrate Simchas and see their grandparents and just get back to some form of normality, whatever that is.
Nikki Meiberg, thank you for your very real and thought-provoking discussion. Nikki Meiberg, the physician's wife.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.